Back on the Chad Hastie Show, News Talk 790 KFYO. 770-5790, toll free, 1-800-687-0790. Phone numbers you can call into. Give us your 2014 predictions. We're taking those all this week. Joining me right now, Republican strategist and co-founder of MustReadTexas.com, one of the websites I go to every single day, Matt Mikowiak. Matt, good morning. How are you, sir?
Hey, Chad. Doing great. Good morning.
Well, I appreciate you coming on today. Quite a bit of news out there. We'll take a look at what happened on, I believe it was Friday when this poll officially came out, Friday afternoon Friday morning. This the first poll between Steve Stockman and John Cornyn, which shows that Steve Stockman gaining absolutely no traction whatsoever.
Yeah, this is a poll released by Wilson Perkins Allen, a first-rate polling firm that's based in both Austin and D.C. They've done the polling for Ted Cruz. They've done polling for a lot of people and across the country, a lot of conservatives. And they took a poll that showed, I think, Cornyn was at 50, Stockman was at 6. I want to say undecided was something like 29 or something like that. So, you know, it does show that Cornyn starts with a huge lead. The one, you know, thing to just watch is anytime an incumbent is below 50 in a reelection campaign, it's dangerous territory. So I think the fight now is going to be over that 29%. You know, Senator Cornyn wants to, you know, focus on those individuals, focus on the work he's done, focus on his conservative record. And Stockman wants to try to make the case against Cornyn. And the question is going to be, you know, will Stockman have the financing to do that? Texas is so big, you have to have several million dollars to run a statewide campaign, and he's only got, 55 or 60 days until early voting.
Yeah. Well, the 29% number that's out there, are those people really undecided, or are they not paying attention right now?
I think it's probably both. You know, I think it could be that they're soft Cornyn support, and, you know, they're willing to perhaps consider someone else, but they don't know much about Stockman. I mean, I think that's probably what that reflects, because Cornyn does have high name ID in Texas, mm-hmm. Because he's been on the ballot, you know, so many times as Supreme Court Justice and as a Attorney General, and now I think, two times for the United States Senate. So he's been on the ballot quite a bit. That's the question. You know, who are those undecideds? And so if I'm Cornyn's campaign, I'm working to identify, number one, who the 50% are that support me so I can make sure those folks vote. But secondly, you know, who are the undecideds, and how do we reach them in an efficient way? And you know, with $7 million in the bank, he's going to have the resources to go on TV, do radio, do mail, do a lot of very targeted advertising, have a full campaign team. Meanwhile, again, I hate to go back to it, but the real question mark for Stockman is he going to be able to raise any real money whatsoever? The Club for Growth, who spent the most money of any outside group in helping Ted Cruz win 2 years ago, said they're not going to get involved in this race, that Cornyn has an 87% lifetime Club for Growth rating and that they're not going to get involved. So, Stockman needs financing somewhere. It's just not clear where it's going to come from, if it's going to come at all.
Are you surprised by the lack of endorsements or even people who are interested in supporting Steve Stockman right now?
You know, I'm not, Chad. I called it a souffle, I think, last week, because I just didn't see anything under the Stockman candidacy to sustain it, to keep it in the air. And you know, there's a price. You pay a price when you don't run a sort of professional political operation. You know, Stockman's campaign, I had a candidate involved in the race against Stockman, the congressional race that Stockman won 2 years ago. And so I was familiar with his operation, and it was a surprise victory that he pulled out by virtue of his residual name ID in that district and the support of Gun Owners for America that was all in for him, and also some other activities they were doing. But at the end of the day, you know, he starts in this race with $30,000 in the bank and $160,000 in debt. You know, no member of Congress should be in that position, not after 9 months in office. You should be raising money. You should have support. You should be paying down your debt. And anyone in that position would never and should never consider getting into a statewide election with 1 minute before the filing deadline. So there's just so many questions about it. You know, I don't have anything against Stockman personally. I think he's a strong conservative. I know him a little bit, not real well. He obviously has a tact for making sort of bold comments that fire up conservatives and anger liberals. And I don't have any issue with that either. But I would just say that, again, there's just so many questions here. Why do you wait to file until the last minute?
Yeah.
There's no advantage to waiting in a state as large as Texas when you have the huge fundraising disadvantage that you have. So, again, at the end of the day, this isn't going to be a race. It's going to be more of an irritation for Cornyn, I think. But then the other thing to watch is that there's just so many other races on the ballot statewide that are going to get all the attention, attorney general, lieutenant governor, some of the other important races locally as well.
Yeah, David Dewhurst, Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst, he's seeking re-election. He just got the endorsement of some law enforcement groups out there. How do you see this race shaking out as of right now? Because this is, it's one of those races that's obviously very important in the state of Texas, but it just seems like there, number one, there aren't a lot of people, it seems, that are paying attention. And number two, these guys really aren't putting a lot of distance, it seems, between each other.
Yeah, it's hard because, I mean, when it comes to the actual issues, there's not a huge amount of difference between the four candidates for lieutenant governor. But I think what's also interesting here is you do have four strong candidates. I mean, all four of these guys are strong candidates. They all are, three of the four are statewide, officials. The fourth, Dan Patrick, is someone who's widely, you know, probably the best known state senator because of his radio show and his record as a conservative leader in the state Senate. So, it is interesting. It'll be interesting to see how these guys, what strategies they employ, in the new year, because, anytime you go negative, it hurts the person you're going negative on, but it also hurts you. And in a multi-candidate race, there's always a chance that you help someone else who's being ignored altogether. Mm-hmm. The question for me, Chad, is there a potential for Dewhurst not to make the runoff? I thought there was early in the year. I'm decreasingly convinced that that's possible. We'll know a lot more on January 15th when the financial reports for the second half of the year are public. And we'll see, who's going to have enough money to be on television. To me, everybody has, their own case. I mean, Patterson has the Second Amendment and gun rights voters. It's a strong base of his. Staples has, to some extent, the ag community, although Farm Bureau endorsed Dewhurst. But he has the ag community and some strength in East Texas and perhaps in South Texas. Patrick has Houston and conservative activists. And then Dewhurst has, the potential to obviously bankroll his own campaign, but also, a fairly conservative record as lieutenant governor and successes he can point to and endorsements from a lot of these groups. One thing just for your audience to understand, these trade associations, law enforcement groups or Texas Right to Life or groups like that, they always endorse friendly incumbents. They have friendly incumbent rules. So it could be that they actually prefer someone else in the lieutenant governor's race, but because he's the incumbent and because he's been a friendly incumbent, they have rules that require them to endorse friendly incumbents. So that's one of the things that's interesting is that Todd Staples is the agriculture commissioner and the Farm Bureau endorsed Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst for re-election over Staples.
Yeah.
And if I'm Staples, that must have really frustrated me. But on the other hand, these friendly incumbent rules sometimes limit these associations with what they can do.
Visiting with Matt Mikowiak. Matt, what can people find this morning on mustreadtexas.com?
Lots of news. Just getting kind of caught up over the from the weekend. There's a lot of news on Cornyn and Stockman. Folks are starting to really focus on that. All these other races are starting to get going. We are getting into the holiday season, so it's going to slow down a little bit. But it's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be a sprint starting January 6th, the Monday after the holiday. And so I think the next few weeks are going to be a little bit slower. Obviously, a lot of football news and things like that right now, but. But we will keep you updated on mustreadtexas.com. You can sign up for the morning newsletter, and we hope that some of your listeners will do that.
Absolutely. Matt, appreciate you joining us here in 2013, and we will talk to you again in 2014.
Sounds great. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to all your listeners.
Merry Christmas to you as well. Thank you very much. That's Matt Mikowiak. Mustreadtexas.com, the website, and sign up for that morning email.